This hour brought to you by LibertyOnCall.org. Take back your independence, control, and make your own healthcare decisions. LibertyOnCall.org. Together, we are one.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
The right wing has produced tyrants in the past. The left wing has as well. But as Lord Monckton points out, going back to China thousands of years ago, you have the libertarians and the totalitarians. And that's openly there what they taught, the totalitarians and the libertarians. Or the whole Confucius movement versus the pro-imperials oppressing the population. And you sit here and you watch classic authoritarian totalitarians run around lecturing everyone, screaming that they want to arrest you. You have to understand, I have to actually water down what I say because I can't even believe it. I can't even believe they had multiple newspapers and TV stations say that the Christians deserve to die when these Muslims killed them because Christianity is hateful. I mean, New York Daily News had a major headline with that. And when you come to grips with what hateful, weird freaks these people are, and they have scientific studies in Canada and the UK, the environmentalists are six times more likely to rob or steal or to lie, but they're more likely to say they're making donations. And Lord Monckton, you got 4 minutes left on this point, but I think you're hitting it on the head there, that these are not liberals. These are not Thomas Jeffersons that we're talking about. These people are a cult of stunted, mentally ill people and their con artist controllers.
We must start taking back the language. The so-called Democratic Party are not Democrats. We must call them what they are, the totalitarians. The so-called liberals are not liberal. We must call them what they are, which is totalitarians. The so-called radicals are not radical. We must call them what they are, communists, totalitarians. Let us no longer allow them to steal our language to make themselves seem fragrant when in fact they stink. It's high time that we got tough on these people, and your audience here can help, Alex. You can look up the story about how Patrick Moore has complained to the FBI about a nasty attempt, a failed attempt, which has backfired very badly on Greenpeace, this hate-filled organization, to entrap Professor Will Happer just before he was due to give testimony in the U.S. Congress, an excellent testimony he gave, too. And you, too, can look up the story, and if you think that Patrick Moore was right to put in a complaint to the FBI, then get onto the FBI website, click to the link that allows you to make a complaint, and add your voice to his. Just tell the FBI that it is not acceptable that people should go around intimidating witnesses due to appear before Congress. The Greenpeace has behaved illegally under the RICO statute and the wire fraud statute also by setting up a bogus company in the Beirut souk and pretending to operate from there and pretending to entrap people like Happer, who, of course, is so honest they absolutely failed, but, of course, they still spun it as though they had caught him out taking money from hated fossil fuel companies. Even if he had taken money from them, which he didn't, and he made it quite plain that he didn't, he still wouldn't have been doing anything wrong. He's a very honorable man, and he always makes it plain.
But they admit that almost all the big fossil fuel companies support the global warming fraud.
They do indeed. ExxonMobil is one of the largest subsidizers of this fraud.
I'm still waiting for my check from the oil companies. I haven't ever gotten one.
I'm still waiting for it. Mine hasn't come this week at all. And the problem is this, Alex, that these companies are themselves now in danger of being dragged into what has become, and the word you've just used is the correct word, a global fraud. And one of the things that we, on the questioning side of the debate, have decided to do here at Le Bourget is to establish our own fraud investigation team under the aegis of the Independent Committee on Geoethics, which is a committee of very eminent professors from around the world. And one by one, we're going to start investigating.
Yes, do what Project Veritas does.
Of course.
Lord Monckton, when this conference is over next week, we want to get a final update from you when you're back there in Scotland or back in England. Thank you so much. God bless you and be careful.
God bless you. God bless America. And the truth will win whether they like it or not.
Don't forget, they beat him up a few years ago at one of these conferences, so he is.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Over the years, there have been a lot of powerful advancements in the field of science and nutraceuticals. Youngevity integrates years of scientific research into creating fantastic products like Beyond Tangy Tangerine, plant-derived minerals, and much more. Youngevity also offers you an ingenious way to augment your income. And the best part? You will be helping your friends and family along the way. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com today. Become a member. Get discounts on the amazing products and free shipping when you sign up for AutoShip, and you're able to promote the products to friends and family and neighbors in your community and make money while helping people at the same time. Another win-win. That's why I'm a member of the Longevity team at InfoWarsTeam.com, and you can be too. It's simple. Just go to InfoWarsTeam.com today. Complete a short sign-up, and you're part of the team. That's InfoWarsTeam.com or InfoWarsHealth.com. So many people call into my radio show and tell me how Longevity and the products at InfoWarsTeam.com have changed their lives. Check it out for yourself today.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Longing for the sun, you will come to the island without me. Longing for the sun, be welcome on the island many miles away from home.
Welcome back. We're coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, Austin, broadcasting all over the country on over 170 AM and FM stations, global shortwave satellite. But really, what's scary to the establishment is over a million people with a podcast every day, 2 or 3 million people on one YouTube channel a day, millions a day on Facebook mentions, millions and millions more on other platforms. We're talking 20 million people a week worldwide, about 10 million of them in North America, about half our audience, and it's growing exponentially. So I'm not bragging about InfoWars. I'm putting out the good news that the more hardcore we get, the more we put our reporters out there on the ground, the more the establishment freaks out and tries to misrepresent what we've said, what we've done, what we stand for. And they do that to everybody else who's a libertarian or a constitutionalist. They do it to Tucker Carlson. They do it to World Net Daily. They do it to Matt Drudge. They do it to Donald Trump. And it's not that Donald Trump's perfect, but and it can be seen as extreme because we're a free, open society. That, hey, until we get a handle on things, and until they're vetting people's visas, and until Congress acts to at least look at who's coming in, we will block every single Muslim coming into this country. Well, they only had the "we will block every single Muslim coming into the country." Turns out that's what Jimmy Carter did. He kicked all the Iranians out, basically, and wouldn't let them come in during that whole situation. That's what countries do. You can't go to Saudi Arabia and preach the gospel of Christ. You'll be imprisoned, if you're lucky, sometimes executed. So it's all about misrepresentation. But their hoaxes don't work anymore. For 2 days, they said there wasn't any Islamic terror in San Bernardino, California. That doesn't work anymore. Now, joining us until about 50 after is Tucker Carlson. He's a 20-year-plus media veteran with a wide variety of experience in journalism, currently at Fox News. Carlson has also been CNN, MSNBC, PBS, you name it, GQ Magazine. But really what he's best known for, in my view, is the hard-hitting news exposing both sides of the police state, everything from Black Lives Matter, the private Federal Reserve, you name it, dailycaller.com, which is a mainstay when you see links at Infowars.com or places like DrudgeReport.com. There's so much to cover. Trump, where the dinosaur media is. Are they really on their last legs? I mean, I know you're on Fox. I wouldn't call it dinosaur media because it's at least somewhat conservative, and so it has a big audience. But the others don't have audiences. They're facades. I mean, I can turn on a Facebook mentions at home and get 1.5 million viewers anytime I want. Their biggest show doesn't have 500,000. So when does the zombie finally fall down and die, or can it not die because it's already dead? Tucker Carlson.
I've never heard it put that way, but I love it. I mean, you're watching it die now, and you're watching Donald Trump benefit from its death. I mean, in my view, the worst thing about Trump is the media reaction to him, which is so hyperventilating and self-righteous. It's merely an excuse for reporters to explain that they're morally superior to Donald Trump. You know, he's a bad person. They're great people. It's a vehicle for their vanity and self-aggrandizement. It's disgusting. And, you know, there are things about Trump that I don't agree with, and there are certainly things about his rhetoric that I think ought to be more precise, that he'll explain better. But none of that really compares in emotional impact to the feeling I get watching the press whine about him and declare him dangerous. Every time I hear that, I feel like sending him money.
I agree with you. What about Senator Leslie Graham? I mean, excuse me, Lindsey Graham, the beauty queen. He is up there just saying it's race baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. Let's watch that clip from the Communist News Network.
Well, I want to talk to the Trump supporters for a minute. I don't know who you are, and I don't know why you like this guy. I think what you like about him, he appears to be strong when the rest of us are weak. He's a very successful businessman, and he's going to make everything great. He's going to take all the problems of the world and put them in a box and make your life better. That's what he's selling. Here's what you're buying. He's a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. He doesn't represent my party. He doesn't represent the values that the men and women who wear the uniform are fighting for. I've been in the Air Force for 33 years. I retired this June. He's the ISIL man of the year, by the way. Just got back from Iraq a week ago
last
Monday.
Hillary, we played the clip last hour, also says that he's playing right in the hands of ISIS. Last time I checked, he didn't run the State Department that helped build up ISIS. We had the former head of Defense Intelligence himself saying that. Tucker, let yourself talk. Jump in here. Where do you see all this going?
Well, I mean, Lindsey Graham is the one who doesn't represent, obviously, the views of the Republican Party. Look at the numbers. I mean, you know, I don't dislike Lindsey Graham as a person, but he has no constituency, and he has, it strikes me, no deep knowledge of the region. He's the one who's forever telling us we need to arm this or that group, about which he knows nothing. He's not an Arabic speaker, and yet he's always telling us this is a group of freedom fighters and your son needs to go fight on their behalf, et cetera, et cetera. It's every bit, in fact, it's more reckless than anything Donald Trump has ever said. Here's the real reason people like Trump's recent statement on stopping Islamic immigration or putting a pause on it. The message is really clear. Donald Trump, I would be shocked if Donald Trump awoke in the middle of the night seething with hatred toward Muslims. I don't know, but I doubt it.
He doesn't.
I think Donald Trump is just really worried that we're going to see more terror attacks in the country. And you look at Europe and its inability over 70 years to integrate and assimilate large Muslim populations, and it does make you wonder, like, what do you, you know, we don't want to be Sweden or Belgium or France, so what steps do we need to take in order to not become them? That's a totally reasonable and rational conclusion to reach. Or maybe you don't think that stopping all Muslim immigration is the answer, but at least the question is an essential question, and only Trump seems to be asking it. Why
That's right.
is that?
Well, it's an extreme statement, but it's extreme to have 80% being military-age men, 80-plus percent right. fake passports. Mainly these are Sunni invaders into Syria, that's all admitted, who got their butt kicked. They're now going into Turkey, going into Europe. And just a month or so ago, Trump said, hey, we've got to let these poor refugees in. We've got to take them. His own constituents said, hey, a lot of them are terrorists. He got informed, and then he changed his mind. He knows there's going to be more terror attacks after Paris and now San Bernardino.
That's right.
And they're taking him out of context. He doesn't dislike anybody.
Well, exactly. And again, you have to compare the recklessness of Trump, and sometimes he is reckless, with the recklessness of the people who now run everything. And Lindsey Graham is a perfect representative of that group. Right after the Paris terror attacks, Lindsey Graham was not only calling for more Syrian immigration into the United States, but saying anyone who opposed it was somehow a nativist or a bigot or a bad person or immoral or on the wrong side of God. Really? I mean, there's no room for a debate on this? I mean, ask yourself the question, does any adult really believe that Germany will be improved by a million refugees from Syria and surrounding countries, Pakistan, because they're not just Syrians? I don't think anybody really believes that, and yet Time magazine just gave Angela Merkel the Person of the Year award, and it is effective on award, to congratulate her for doing that. What's the effect of that kind of immigration? It makes the people in power feel virtuous. They get to feel like good people, but they don't have to deal with any of the consequences sure. of it. They don't send their children to public school. They're not competing for jobs with these people. They're surrounded by armed bodyguards that taxpayers pay for. There's really no downside for them, but there's a massive downside for everybody else. They are out of touch. They really don't care about the effect of their policies on the people they're supposed to be representing. And we really ought to be outraged about that. And I'm hardly like some wild-eyed populist. I think I'm pretty reasonable and mainstream. But it's worth being mad about that. Madder indeed than you are, than people are at Donald Trump. Like,
sure.
Who's really at fault here?
Well, let's take Huma Abedin, who I notice you have a picture behind you of her on your wall with that Ringling Brothers. Actually, does look like her. Hillary Clinton's special friend. I don't care if Hillary has special friends. I'm a libertarian like you are. But if this was Trump or a conservative, we know there'd be a spotlight on it. And then her whole background, she seems to just get away with everything. I think that also sticks in people's craw, that these Democrats and establishment Republicans are above the law. They don't get reviewed. They don't get looked at. And then Hillary's little hippo, she can do whatever she wants and, you know, stay in the same hotel room or whatever. I mean, this should be looked into. And then Drudge and you and others get criticized for investigating Hillary's health, investigating her taste in women. I mean, isn't all of this open game?
Huma Abedin, let's just assess the public record, okay? That's enough. I mean, I'm willing to give everyone a pass on their private lives or whatever.
Why do you have a picture of her on your wall? Sorry, go ahead.
It's from the 40s. It predates even Huma. She sent out an email 2 days ago in which she called Donald Trump, quote, a racist for opposing Islamic immigration, as if Islam is a race rather than a religion. It's not a racial ethnic category. That's insane. Now, that is exactly the kind of language, of rhetoric that divides people, that makes people hate each other, that whips the population into a greater frenzy. Again, that's every bit as irresponsible as anything Donald Trump has suggested. And unlike Donald Trump, she's actually in a position of power. I mean, Huma Abedin was a federal official, a State Department official, up until pretty recently, an Obama administration official. And yet she can send an email like that out and nobody cares. You know, it's fine. It's just a reaction. He's dangerous. No wonder she's upset. It is all of this. The Trump phenomenon is a reaction against that. And I tell people who are upset, a lot of Republicans in Washington, as you know, are horrified by Trump. They hate him more than they hate Obama. He's a direct threat to their power. And I always say to them, there's a reason he's here. And that's because you have been a bad steward of this party. The president has been a bad steward of the federal government. A lot of the business community have been bad stewards of the economy. The people running things haven't done a very good job, so it shouldn't surprise you that someone like Donald Trump arrives on the scene and gets really popular by telling the truth about your failures. Like, why is that shocking?
Tucker Carlson's our guest, Fox News, foxnews.com, dailycaller.com. That's got to be the quote of the last week or so, the most crystallized, boiled-down truth, that last 20 seconds. That's it. They don't dislike him because he's a bigot or he's hateful. They hate him because he'll win. He's not part of their power structure. They've been caught working with the Democrats, and he represents the Tea Party, the Libertarians, taking over the grand old party and kicking these weasels out of Toad Hall who have invaded and taken over, and he is a bellwether of that, and they're panicking.
What's so funny is there in a lather this morning about the idea that he might run third party. Here's a newsflash. He already is running third party. He's already broken with Republican orthodoxy on economics. He's attacked the hedge fund people. He's broken with them on foreign policy. He's pointed out the Iraq war was a disaster. That's not allowed, but he did it anyway. He's being attacked by the head of the RNC. He's hated by donors. He's hated by lobbyists. He's hated by the entire Washington establishment and the other candidates. Or some of them said he won't vote for him.
He's incredible.
Actually not, he's not running as a Republican. Here's a newsflash, and maybe that's why he's succeeding. Because the and again, I've always kind of voted Republican because I don't see the choice. But the truth is the Republican coalition for 40 years has been a combination of libertarian economic policy and neoconservative foreign policy. And neither one has worked for a lot of people in the middle of the country. That's just the truth. Okay?
And it's not delivering. And if we don't watch out, we're going to get a Bernie Sanders or a Hillary. We can't stand it. And so the Republicans, I think, ought to back off, reassess what's happening, really try to talk to Trump, bring him in, then he would listen to them. But now that I know some of the inside baseball, 3 or 4 months ago I wasn't sure about Trump, a month ago I wasn't, but now, that, like you said, going after the hedge fund boys, that's the top of the pyramid. That's the too big to fails. He is really showing the fact that he's going after the establishment and now threatening them to go third party if they don't stop demonizing him and shrilly trying to outdo MSNBC. I mean, Lindsey Graham and all these Republicans, and I hate to say it, even some people I've supported, are trying to sound more like Democrats than anybody ever heard. They're not going to win like that. I mean, how stupid are they? Don't they get the mainstream media is the last group you want endorsing you?
Exactly. But Trump is radical because he's not tied to anyone. So take, for example, carried interest. It's a loophole in the tax code that allows some people in the finance business, hedge fund managers, among others, to take their income as investment dividends. In other words, they pay half the tax that the rest of us wage earners pay. Now, this is obviously wrong. They won't even defend it in public. I'm pro-capitalist, and I'm opposed to it. It's indefensible. And yet, 7 years under the Obama administration, a supposedly radical left-wing redistributionist administration, they've allowed this to remain in the tax code. They've never gone after it for 7 years, okay? It took Donald Trump to stand up, a billionaire, obviously a beneficiary of capitalism, to say, this is totally unfair.
You can't be tax exempt when housewives and working mothers and people are paying 20% tax. You can't be tax exempt, bozos. There's not going to be an economy if you keep setting the playing field where it's crooked.
Exactly. But I think people underestimate how radical it is for the Republican frontrunner to say this, or even to make an obvious point. You know, he's not attacking our soldiers or even Bush or Cheney. He's just pointing out, look, the Iraq war didn't go that well. And would you do it again? Of course not. That's a stupid question even to ask. And yet, he was the only one in the Republican field who would say something that obvious.
This, no, that's right. Overall, he's a true maverick. Let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
I mean, in your gut, you're not making predictions here, Tucker, but you're a smart political analyst. You made a lot of accurate predictions. What do you think is in your gut is going to end up happening with Trump? Where is this going? Because just as a spectator, just from that position, this is fantastical for the news cycle. I mean, every 5 minutes it's something new. Where is this going?
It's the Media Full Employment Act. It's unbelievable. I have been usually right in my predictions, not because I'm so smart, because it's pretty easy to predict what's going to happen in American politics. It always has been. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what's going to happen. My only prediction is this. If he wins the Florida primary, which is far more important than any other, it's a state you can't become president without winning. It's far more representative of the country than Iowa or New Hampshire. If he wins that in a state where Jeb was the governor and Marco Rubio is a sitting senator, how can you deny him the nomination? If he wins, that's when you'll know, in March, the Florida primary. If Trump is still in and wins that, he will be the nominee.
Well, he's now gone on national television and said it's not about their religion. It is about safety. And
right.
In his full speech, he said they're not vetting him. They're not checking him. That's why we got to do it for a limited time until it's fixed. He let them take him out of context. But the way people then get mad at him, then they find out what he really said, and then they get madder at the controlled media. I mean, even I, when I first saw the headline a few days ago, a day and a half ago, thought, oh, he's crazy. And then you find out what he really said. It just reminds you how much they will spin and deceive. Now, remember, since we mentioned this, here's Trump a couple months ago saying we've got to take the refugees because of what they've been through. So here's Donald Trump before he has the facts, shooting his mouth off, saying we've got to take the refugees. Then he goes to the extreme of saying, you know, we can't take them until it's fixed. Here it is.
Look, from a humanitarian standpoint, I'd love to help, but we have our own problems. We have so many problems that we have to solve. Mm-hmm. You have over there the Gulf states, tremendously wealthy. You have five groups of people.
Okay, I thought they found it. That's the walk back a week later. That's him going on. I think that's Fox News. Walking it back, on Hannity. There's another one where he gives a speech where he says, quote, we've got to take them. Go ahead, Tucker. Sorry.
Well, it's just not surprising. Americans are compassionate people, and their first instinct is always to help. I mean, you're walking through Midtown Manhattan, and a Japanese tourist with no English says, where's Times Square? 20 people rush to help him. I mean, that's just kind of who we are. So it's not surprising that anybody asked that question from a dead sleep would say, yeah, of course we should help them. The question is not, is that your instinct? The question is knowing all the facts and watching what happened in Paris and watching the failure to assimilate of these large Muslim populations in Europe. Do you still think it's a good idea then? And here's my question. Is Trump's position more reckless and crazy than the mainstream position, which is, despite all the evidence, let's just invite thousands of Syrians right from the battlefield to come to America at taxpayer expense, literally flown over on American aircraft at your expense to go on welfare? Is which one of these positions is nuttier? And I don't know. Again, I'm not endorsing Trump for president. Hardly. There are a lot of things about Trump I don't like. But on the merits, Trump's position is less crazy than that position. That position is just flat out anti-American. And by the way, the Constitution does not require us to commit suicide. There's no amendment.
It's not a suicide pact. In fact, I did find one of the articles, Front Page Magazine. It was from one of the debates. We'll put it on screen for folks. We have the actual quote. For TV viewers, for radio listeners, I'll read it out. Trump, Rubio, Bush, we should take in Syrian refugees. Trump, quote, on a humanitarian basis, something does have to be done. So there he was before all these people got shot and blown up in Europe and the United States. And what is Obama thinking, Tucker? Let me ask you this question. If you bring in hundreds of thousands of these people who are mainly Sunnis from war zones, a lot of them soldiers, a lot of them ISIS, it keeps coming out. You bring millions into Europe. Don't they know there's going to be more attacks? How will they politically get away with this, and why would they want to do this? It's so destructive.
Well, they get away with it politically because they changed the composition of the electorate over time. And that's exactly, as you know, what's happened since 1965, when immigration law changed to favor people from outside of Europe. And there are probably some good things about that. There are also some bad things about it, which we never mention. We lie about it and pretend it's all good because we get better restaurants and cheap servants. But the truth is, it was a massive boon for the Democratic Party because the overwhelming majority of those immigrants in the last 50 years have become Democrats and stayed Democrats. But it has made the country less cohesive and more divided, and there have been all kinds of other unattractive effects of it. It's affected our education system. It's affected our economy in ways that are bad and really troubling over the long term. I mean, but from a Democratic point of view, if you're David Plouffe planning out, you know, how to win the White House unto the generations for the next 9 cycles, your go-to position is more immigration from the third world because that means more Democratic voters. And I always give people the benefit of the doubt on motive. I don't know what motivates people most of the time, and I tried not to pretend that I do. But on this specific subject, having talked to these guys a lot,
they
see immigration as a way to change the demographics of the country in a way that helps them. That's just true.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you take third world populations and, you know, they work hard, they get a job, the American dream, they're great. You indoctrinate them into socialist chip on the shoulder, trigger word garbage where they can't see a Christmas tree or they fall down literally crying, no, not Halloween, no, don't let them have a party. And then the Yale professors have stepped down now. They're creating a freakazoid cult. Yeah, what about the political correctness? I mean, I love Trump because he's the opposite of that.
Well, he is. The problem with the political correctness on campus, and it's not just on campus, but it starts there, is that it's really an attack on speech. I understand I've got a minority view on politics. My views are not popular with most people. I don't pretend they are. I'm way out by myself. I get it. And it doesn't bother me. The only thing, the line that the left crosses that makes me worried, really upset, is when they try to prevent me from expressing my views, when they equate opinions they disagree with violence. And that's exactly what trigger warnings are all about. That's exactly what safe spaces are all about. That's exactly why Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, said the other day, if you criticize Islam in a way we don't like, we'll prosecute you. These are all attacks on freedom of expression, on speech, constitutionally protected speech. They don't believe in the First Amendment, and the polls show this. A strikingly large percentage of Democrats, when asked, say, yes, there will be limits to the First Amendment, and those limits begin when you start offending protected groups. That's scary. None of us want to live in a country where we can't say what we believe is true, period.
Tucker Carlson's our guest for one more segment. I've been asking a lot of the questions, but in this first half of this next segment, it's 18 minutes long, I'm going to let him bring up whatever topics he wants, because I want to hear what he's focused on, what he sees coming up. Then I've got some other questions I want to go over with him. What's going on with Putin? Talking about using nukes now on ISIS. I know that's just rhetoric, but wow. What does he make of what's happening in Turkey and other things straight ahead? Tucker Carlson, thedailycaller.com.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
In the 15-year history of PrisonPlanet.tv, we have never offered 6 months free at Christmas. We've always offered 5 months free. But since I announced 6 free months a few days ago, we have seen record numbers of signups. PrisonPlanet.tv began 15 years ago. It's grown into InfoWars, Nightly News, and so much more. All of my documentary films, scores of ebooks, and other exclusive documentaries are available for streaming or download in HD at PrisonPlanet.tv. You don't just get 6 months free when you sign up from Christmas through New Year's. You also get to share that membership with up to 20 people simultaneously using your username. You can also sign up for a trial month and only pay $5.95. And then 20 of you and your friends and family can watch PrisonPlanet.tv, get 20 memberships at half price, be the Paul Revere in your community. That's 6 months free when you sign up for a year at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Is the U.S. involved with any procuring of weapons, transfer of weapons, buying, selling, anyhow transferring weapons to Turkey out of Libya?
To Turkey?
It is a big idea. A new world order.
How is it that this organization is so well-funded, so organized?
Islamic State-linked militants have gained a stronger foothold in Libya, seizing new economically vital areas of the country.
The leader of ISIS in Libya is none other than Abdel Hakim Belhaj. And of course, he was armed to the teeth by NATO.
A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
The Russians say they're negotiating with North Korea to hold joint military exercises. Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin teaming up, creating an ominous alliance against the United States.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is aggressively opposing the nuclear deal that the U.S. government is negotiating with Iran.
Saudi Arabia is apparently prepared to allow Israeli jets into its airspace to conduct attacks on Iran.
We have an unprecedented opportunity to build a new world order.
I set up a foundation in Ukraine and pray that an important part in events now.
Ukraine is set to receive the first tranche of the International Monetary Fund aid package.
We had brokered a deal to transition power in Ukraine.
Vladimir Putin is on the move.
Only when this transformation is complete will we be able to take full measure of the opportunities presented by this new and evolving world order.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
You're listening to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Alex Jones. We've added the fourth hour of the broadcast. Anthony Gucciardi is hosting today with Dr. Grubb in studio. They'll be opening the phones up as well. And then, of course, we'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock Central, InfoWars Nightly News, and back tomorrow with a weekday broadcast as well. Tucker Carlson of thedailycaller.com, one of the founders of it, one of the owners of it, joins us. I could say one of the main pundits and analysts, too, on Fox News. And even though Fox News has millions of viewers an hour, I really just think it's a bigger deal to have your own successful news organization that has journalists all over the country and all over the world, because the dinosaur media, and Fox will be the last to go, really is on its way out. And I don't know what the establishment's going to do in the wake of that. I just see how arrogant and delusional even mainstream reporters are to this day. I mean, Obama's average YouTube video gets like 5,000 now. When some kid reporting from the middle of nowhere gets 5 million. And it's not just 5 million once or twice or 10 times or 20 times. It's consistently now for new media. And I'm a well-known libertarian. Conspiracy theorist, call me whatever you want. I don't believe a word these people say. And they also take out of context what we do talk about, but it hasn't worked. And so before Tucker gets into topics that I know are near and dear to his heart, because I want to hear these wild cards, I want to ask him, though, I don't think we can really underestimate, because I think I did. I mean, I didn't support McCain or Obama, and I think that was a mistake, even though McCain's horrible. I underestimated Obama, but I look at the average Democrat now with these man on the streets we do in Austin and in California. You know, we're not in the Beltway. And, I mean, these Democrats, 9 out of 10 say, we go for Obama, we're going to put gun owners in forced labor camps, and we're going to execute them. And they say, yeah, I'm sick of these gun owners. And we're like, so you want to put them in prison? And so next time we go out, we want to kill them. Yeah, let's kill them. I mean, look at people saying kill Trump. These are mainline people saying go ISIS, kill Trump, and they're not even radical Muslims. It just seems like it's now more like a dumbed-down power cult like the Nazis or the Soviets. I don't know how to describe them, but these aren't the Democrats I grew up around who you'd agree with on a bunch of points and, you know, disagree with some. These are like deranged, crazy people in my view. Do you agree with that, or what would you call them, or what are they mutating into?
You know, it's a great question, and all the attention is on how the Republican Party has changed, and it's more extreme, and, you know, it has changed in a lot of ways, but not as much as the Democratic Party has changed. The Democratic Party, from our life, we're about the same age, for our lifetimes, was the party of kind of the faculty lounge, affluent white intellectuals on college campuses, of course, of minority voters and of the poor. But it was also the party of, like, the working man. They always claimed that, and they were right, actually. The average wage earner was a Democrat because he thought the party was on his side. It is no longer that. The Democratic Party is the party of left-wing intellectuals and of people who are wholly dependent on government, who need government help. And so, of course, the Democratic Party is their natural home. There's nobody in the middle. They don't represent normal people anymore.
So it's a gang.
It completely is. And so without the leavening effect of normal people with jobs and families, and maybe a week of deer hunting every fall, they have no reference points for what's normal. And the authoritarian impulse, which has always been on the left, because the left believes that politics is the way to improve the world and human nature itself. So they take politics much more seriously than the right does, for sure. That authoritarian impulse has nothing to hold it back.
That's right.
And it's in full flower. And the gun issue, I don't even talk about it much on the air because it makes me too emotional. And I become tongue-tied because it makes me so angry. But I'll just make the obvious point that I know your viewers agree with. But they're not even pretending that gun control will make the country safer, because it demonstrably won't, or prevent terrorism. It's absurd. They don't even try. They're basically just saying that anybody with a gun or certain kinds of guns is prima facie evil, which is to say they're part of another culture, one that we're not a part of, that needs to be stamped out and destroyed. And let's just go ahead and use this national crisis to hurt these people. I mean, that's kind of their open pitch. They're not even pretending anymore. It's really ominous.
Very well said. I couldn't say it that good. That crystallized again, which is really your skill at just boiling down this. They are a cult of totalitarian intellectuals who want total power, see everyone else as an enemy. They have radicalized their party, which has radicalized the Republican Party, but they are the real drivers of that. Then they have this giant constituency that don't work, who are scared and programmed by the lies that the intellectual left is telling them. So it's a giant gang run by a control freak cult waging war on the family, language, the individual. It's a nightmare scenario.
I think that is true. And the most lasting damage they will do, though, is introducing a hard kind of ethnic politics into American life, where their appeals are explicitly racial. Republicans are white. They hate you. They don't understand you. They're unreasonably racist. This is the president's point in almost every address he gives. The real threat is bigotry here at home. It scares the hell out of people. There are a lot of non-white voters who I think are open-minded, who know they're not being served by the Democratic Party, who might be willing to look elsewhere. But they can't. Understandably, they can't, because they've been told for generations that the Republican Party hates them because of the way they look. And once you think somebody hates you, you're not open to appeals from that person or that group anymore. You shut down, right? And so they've created, really, they've been instrumental in creating a really tough kind of ethnic politics that doesn't go away. These wounds linger. And the one thing you don't want in your country is ethnic politics, because it's not resolvable. If you and I disagree on an issue, issues come and go. You know, they're resolved. Our ethnicity is immutable. It doesn't change. And so if we hate each other because of our ethnic differences, our children will hate each other because of their ethnic differences. This is the story of world history. And
it's the story of the Tower of Babel, of the broken coalition strategy, where everyone's so divided and conquered, you can never agree about a Second Amendment or private property or sovereignty or anything, because you're just too obsessed over your identity politics.
Exactly. And that, man, you don't even – it's a very effective way to mobilize voters, by the way. If you have a candidate like Hillary who doesn't have a very impressive record to run on – she's not going to be running on her tenure as Secretary of State or her years as senator from New York. I mean, there's nothing to talk about. So she's going to be running on ethnic politics, identity politics entirely. I'm a woman. My opponent is not. You're mad at your ex-husband, vote for me. Or it's time to give a woman a shot. And they're the white party. You resent them. They have things that are rightfully yours. Vote for me. Boy, that works. I mean, it'll probably get her elected, or it could get her elected in any case, but it will have effects that our grandchildren will be living with and that are very unhappy and very dangerous. They shouldn't do that.
Sure. I've seen these news articles where it'll show like 20, 30, 40 women, depending on the article. It'll say the women of Hillary or the women press of Hillary.
Right.
And they admit it's ideology. They do whatever she says because she's a woman. And they're kind of advertising out in the open that they've gotten rid of any, you know, real journalistic integrity. And I think a lot of this is because the Republicans, back when my grandfather was becoming a Republican, you know, the first in the family's history in Texas, he'd come back from World War II. He thought it was wrong that black people were being discriminated against.
Right.
He became a Republican, ran for office in East Texas, won. The family got mad at him but accepted it. But the point was, the Republicans passed the Civil Rights Act in the late 50s. Eisenhower sending in the troops to integrate the schools. The Republicans have the moral high ground, and then they start losing elections. So they do the Southern strategy, flip, start acting like Democrats in the South. The Democrats flip and then start doing minority politics. They're the original party of the Klan. The Republicans played that game for a decade, got branded, got set up, and now we're dealing with the most sinister, sneaky. And I've been around some high-level Democrats before, years ago, and they're really racist, cold-blooded, weirdo criminals at the top. And I've got to say that they're the mafia. And the sad little Democrats just don't know who's leading them around by their nose. I mean, I'm ranting, but can you speak to the party of the Klan, the Democrats?
Again, the key difference between the left and right is the left means it. If you talk to the average staffer on a Republican campaign, he'll say, I really hope my candidate wins. He's better than the other guy. But if he loses, I'll become a lobbyist or play golf or move to Myrtle Beach or whatever. Life will continue. I'll get on with the business of my life, which is not inherently political. If you talk to the average Democratic consultant, he'll say, my guy is the best guy ever to run. The other guy is evil. Everything hangs in the balance. This will not be a constitutional republic if we lose. Like, they invest meaning in politics that Republicans can't even comprehend. Because for your average conservative or libertarian or even garden variety Republican, politics is something you do in order to create space to do the things that really matter, like get married, have children, have a business, go to church, it's what makes that possible. For Democrats, it's an end in itself. So, of course, they're willing to do things that Republicans wouldn't even conceive of doing. They're always going to be – the guy who cares more about something is always going to be better at doing it. And that's why Democrats have an inherent advantage. Their only disadvantage is the average person doesn't agree with them. But really, over time, that doesn't matter because they just imported new people who do agree with
them. That was my next question. Do you agree that we've reached a crossroads and that the Republicans have been doing some of the right things, going out and running, quote, minority candidates? Because I don't care if you're black, Hispanic, white. Just don't take my guns. Keep my taxes low. If you had green skin, I'd vote for you for president, you know, if you weren't supporting tyranny. I mean, do you think we're in danger of having a one-party system, the Democrats?
On the national level, we are. Not on the state level. I mean, there are plenty of states. I mean, Republicans have done great. And maybe not that it's really mattered, but they've done great in the last three cycles in the states. They have more governorships than they've had in generations. They have more state houses. They have obviously a big majority in Congress, biggest in 70 years, et cetera, et cetera. But for a national election, a presidential election, the math is such that it's going to be very difficult, and most Republicans know this on a gut level, to win after this cycle simply because the demographics are just so very different, much more different than people understand. The average person, I'm included, lives in a neighborhood that kind of looks like the neighborhood you grew up in, the same kind of people. But that's not America. Once you get outside of your own little bubble and see the country, you see that it's totally different. And by the way, that's not all bad. Not all change. All change is a mixed blessing. Some of it is good. But from a political point of view, it is absolutely death for the Republicans. That was the plan from day one. They ignored it or didn't know about it. And now they're staring down the barrel of elections they can't win. And the consequences, I'll just say one last thing, the consequences are that the things that we've taken for granted, I mean, the core things we took for granted, the right to bear arms, the right to speak freely, the right to disagree with the majority, the right to assemble, the right to privacy, things that we thought were constitutionally guaranteed, suddenly nobody cares.
That's right. And now you can see
constitutional phase.
And now the Democrats know they're just an election or two away from total domination.
Right.
You see the criminal energy, the crazed eyes, the we're going to arrest you, we're going to kill you, we're going to take your guns. I mean, it really is brown shirt energy I'm seeing. And, man, it's really frightening.
Well, it's power worship, and in the end, all power worship looks the same. You can dress it up as Bolshevism or Islamism or whatever you want to call it, but it's always the same. It's you will do my bidding, you will act out my will, or you will be crushed. And by the way, all of this, my core belief is that the Islamist movement is a reaction against massive changes in the world economy. So you had an agrarian world that was totally overturned by the Industrial Revolution. It displaced a lot of people. You had a lot of anxiety, and out of that, you got Bolshevism. You got worldwide communism, which lasted for 70 years. That ended. We have another massive change going from an industrial economy to a digital economy. People are completely freaked out, and they're seeking solace in nations that haven't been able to compete in the digital economy, mostly the Middle East and Africa. They're taking solace in Islamism. This is not just a religious movement, it's a reaction against radical global change. And that's meaningful because it makes it so much more dangerous. This could pop up anywhere. It's a way for people who are not succeeding in this new world to say, yes, my life has meaning. I'm going to strike out against people who are succeeding, who I'm envious of, who I think are responsible for my failure. I mean, this is a big thing. You need to think about this in terms of the Cold War, 1952. This is an existential threat to the Western way of life. I really believe that.
Tucker Carlson, thank you so much for the time. In the minute we've got left, any other points that we should know about that you're looking at that are on the radar screen?
The only thing I would say is I recently changed my view on guns, and I think the lever action 357-38 is the single flattest shooting, nicest gun I've ever owned, and I have a lot of different rifles up in Maine. Have my own shooting range. This gun is fantastic. You can deer hunt with it in the 357. The ammo is literally cheaper. 38 is literally cheaper than high-end 22s right now. It's just a terrific gun, and it's often overlooked because people think it's so old-fashioned. I got to have a black gun. I got to have an M4.
Which gun is that?
It's a Rossi lever-action 357.
Oh, I've got one of those. It's not Rossi, but those are great. You can even shoot wild hogs with those.
You can, and it's totally cheap. It's like $400. It's flat shooting, no recoil. It's just a fantastic rifle, and the ammo is going to be the last to be banned. I'm totally convinced of that.
And, of course, you own stock in Rossi.
Yes.
I wish I did.
I wish I did.
Rossi has some nice handguns and shotguns and rifles. Yeah. Very inexpensive. I love them. I probably got. It's kind of sickening how many guns I own. It's one of the few things I
love that.
I'm kind of the Imeldo Marcus of shoes with guns. I got so many guns, I don't want to say the number. Tucker Carlson.
You don't want the Justice Department at your house.
Well, I mean, luckily, I never commit any crimes with them, and it's a collection, but hey, who knows? Yeah, it's an evil arsenal. Tucker Carlson, DailyCaller.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Alex. I appreciate it.
Have a Merry Christmas and
you
a
too.
Great New Year. Commit more thought crimes here on air. I'm going to skip this last break of the week. No more breaks will be skipped, I promise. Don't let me, guys, no matter how big the guest is, even if it's Donald Trump. But we're going to need time to play the winner and the runner-up in the segment after this before I hand the baton to Anthony Gucciardi and Dr. Edward Group. We're going to have the winner here. It's how do you pronounce his name, guys? I'm public school educated. It's Rupert
Quaintance.
And it's youtube.com/Kiv, R-E-S-P is his channel, infowars.com/ Rupert's Obama speech analysis. And this is the winner of $1,000. And what I'm doing is I'm doing more and more of these quick contests that are 2 or 3 days. We just had one for $1,000 that was the best War on Christmas meme and showed the Marines at Iwo Jima hoisting up a Christmas tree, and we said, come and take it. And it's just about getting folks involved, the fun of it, rewarding some of the people that do the best. But everybody wins by engaging in free speech and free expression. That is what will counter this globalist dark age they're trying to bring in. And then runner-up is Kenneth Webb, who, of course, has changed the channel and has a bunch of my documentaries posted. I think there's like 40 million views of my documentaries on his channel. Just another channel out there that has our videos with like 40 million views. Again, just letting you know, we are the media. We are dominant now. We're bigger than CNN and MSNBC combined. Can you think about that? We just got 3 or 4 shows. We're only here 5 hours a day. And we are clearly now bigger than CNN domestically and MSNBC. We are bigger than any one Fox show. With 2, 3, 4 million viewers, their top shows. But look at how arrogant Bill O'Reilly is up there. But I love that fact. And in a year, we'll be bigger than Fox. I mean, that's why the system is panicking, folks. That's why these things are happening. Because we're just a bellwether. InfoWars is just one little organization out there that is indicative of the establishment in free fall right now. Now let's go ahead and go to the winner. This video will be posted to InfoWars.com in the next few minutes. If you're radio listeners, you can see it for yourself at your leisure. But the winner of the Obama Oval Office Speech Analysis Contest, we'll come up with a better name, I think. I forget the exact name of the contest because I'm just doing these so quick now, but here it is.
Hi, it's Rupert. Today's episode is brought to you by
Bugs and Killers.
And also, this is my analysis of President Obama's San Bernardino speech. I will start off with the speech's most blatant contradiction.
So far, we have no evidence that the killers were directed by a terrorist organization overseas, or that they were part of a broader conspiracy here at home. We see growing efforts by terrorists to poison the minds of people like the Boston Marathon bombers and the San Bernardino killers.
Okay, so which is it? There is or isn't an influence from overseas?
But it is clear that the two of them had gone down the dark path of radicalization.
And where is this exactly? I'm on the internet all the time. I've never seen anything like that, have you? In the next few clips, he's actually reminding us that he is in charge of the military.
As Commander-in-Chief, I have no greater responsibility than the security of the American people.
Wait a minute, that sounds a little familiar.
In the process, we've hardened our defenses, from airports to financial centers to other critical infrastructure. Intelligence and law enforcement agencies have disrupted countless plots here and overseas, and worked around the clock to keep us safe.
Oh, yeah, I know where I've heard that before. What's that guy's name? George Bush.
We will destroy ISIL and any other organization that tries to harm us.
As far as I'm concerned, this is a George Bush speech.
First, our military will continue to hunt down terrorist plotters in any country where it is necessary.
And that right there is a very George Bush-like declaration of war on everybody.
Terrorists turn to less complicated acts of violence, like the mass shootings that are all too common in our society.
What he's saying is they've got the airports locked down, but they're still coming for you at the mall.
It is this type of attack that we saw at Fort Hood in 2009.
All right, I guess we can call that a terrorist attack now?
And since the day I took this office, I have authorized U.S. forces to take out terrorists abroad.
Take that, you confused anti-war Obama supporters.
Our closest allies, including France, Germany, and the United Kingdom, together with 65 countries that have joined an American-led coalition.
So we've got a 65-country coalition and a declaration of war on everybody. Can we just go ahead and call this World War III yet?
We will continue to provide training and equipment to tens of thousands of Iraqi and Syrian forces.
I got a better idea. Why don't you try providing people here with training and equipment?
To begin with, Congress should act to make sure no one on a no-fly list is able to buy a gun.
Really? How is the no-fly list now not the no-gun list? I think we should add a third random thing to the list, like tacos. Hey, man, you want to go get Mexican food?
Nah, man, you know I can't. I'm on the no taco list.
We should put in place stronger screening for those who come to America without a visa.
Raise your hand if you didn't know you could do that.
So that we can take a hard look at whether they've traveled to war zones.
Oh, just ask them. I'm sure they'll tell you. Now, even though earlier this week some guy was like,
this guy is such a pussy.
I don't remember George Bush doing. He's actually asking for a declaration of war.
If Congress believes, as I do, that we are at war with ISIL, it should go ahead and vote to authorize the continued use of military force against these terrorists. We should not be drawn once more into a long and costly ground war.
That is code for they're going to spend a lot of money on technology and they are going to bomb the crap out of some people. Then I can't help but feel like he's proselytizing for Islam a bit.
We cannot turn against one another by letting this fight be defined as a war between America and Islam, including millions of patriotic Muslim Americans. The vast majority of terrorist victims around the world are Muslim. We must enlist Muslim communities rather than push them away.
That's cool, but can Christians, Buddhists, and Hindus get a shout out too? Separation of church and state?
Let's not forget that freedom is more powerful than fear, that we have always met challenges, whether war or depression, natural disasters or terrorist attacks, by coming together. I have no doubt that America will prevail.
So it's blatantly obvious to me that this speech is about using the no-fly list as a no-gun list, and it's also a speech about Obama getting ready to use the military in a more massive way than he ever has. I will always refer to this speech as Obama's George Bush speech. He is evoking his power as commander-in-chief, however it's being done so in such a manner because of his constituency. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching episode 60 of Hyatt's Rupert, which is also a submission to InfoWars. Thanks. See you next time. Bye.
And that's the winner of $1,000. Runner-up, Kenneth Webb, will get a Hillary vote for Hillary pin where she laughs at everyone. Actually, her laugh, folks. Very witch-like. And a Hillary for Prison t-shirt. We stopped selling those in 9 days. There may be some left, and then that's it. But we're not producing anymore. That's a limited edition Hillary for Prison shirt. It says Legalize Freedom, InfoWars.com on the back. But separate from that, we have free shipping until the 18th when you're guaranteed to get your shipments before Christmas. We have 33% off a new special on Supermail, X2, Nation Iodine, and Silver Bullet. 33% off on top of free shipping. And we also have this special cleanse special where we have three items together discounted. The Living Defense, Deep Cleanse, and Oxy Powder. And that's also, what is that, 30-something percent off. So that special is running on top of free shipping. And your purchases make this entire broadcast possible. So we can have things like the Make Fun of Hillary contest that will run through the month. We'll announce the winners early next year in the first week of January. So that's only like, you know, 20-something days away. That's $5,000 for the first place because she's literally threatening to, quote, shut down major comedy clubs if they make fun of her. And, I mean, they actually officially do this. So they're showing you who they are. Don Corleone didn't suppress people's free speech. This is a very Soviet style, Nazi style. I don't know what you call it, but I mean, just please. Is she the star of a zombie movie? She just keeps coming and coming. And I agree with Drudge. I mean, she looks like a reanimated corpse or something. I mean, is she okay? I mean, I hope she's okay. We love Hillary. We're going to be back to play the Kenneth Webb submission and the Anthony Gucciardi. Some stations aren't carrying the fourth hour. Please do. If not, InfoWars.com/show to find the free video feeds and audio feeds and spread the word. It's a war. Spread the war.